praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, a presentation of Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over seven decades, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called Life Study. This Life Study is the basis for our program today and includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's program. Galatians chapter 3 shows us a striking contrast between the flesh and the spirit. In chapter 5, this contrast even becomes a warfare. The spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. This contrast, and even more this warfare, holds tremendous implications for the believers of Christ in our own daily walk. The Apostle Paul wrote a tremendous epistle or letter to the believers of Christ in the region of Galatia. These simple, seeking Christians loved the Lord, but they were caught up in the ongoing struggle with trying to live the Christian life and satisfy God by trying to live up to expectations placed on them, both outwardly and inwardly. Dick Taylor is with us once again as we delve into the real nuts and bolts, I would say, of the Christian life as we're presented with them in these messages from Galatians. We really can't begin to calculate how helpful these words are, can we, Dick?
No, we cannot calculate how helpful they are, but we do appreciate the help we're getting, and even today. So good that we're not here taking the way of the works of the law, but we're here taking the way of faith, really enjoying the Spirit.
Dick, we've spent a good amount of time now in chapter 2, particularly looking at verse 20, several programs really devoted to this chapter and this verse. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, in chapter 3 and beyond, Paul no longer refers to Christ and I, or the old I, but the spirit and the flesh. How do these two pairs relate to each other?
It's interesting that you brought this up, Chris. I noticed in many of Paul's epistles, they begin with a lot of speaking about Christ and about I, but they change to the spirit and to the flesh. Concerning Christ and the spirit, they are the same. And concerning I and the flesh, they are the same. That is the old I. What does this mean? From the angle of Revelation, Paul speaks of Christ and of the old I. But from the angle of our experience of life, he speaks of the spirit and of the flesh. So it's very interesting to see how he shifts, because usually the introductory chapters to many of his epistles really present Revelation. But the latter half of his epistles really bring us into the genuine experience, as you called it, the nuts and bolts of the Christian life. So then he refers to Christ as the Spirit, and he refers to I as the flesh.
So in receiving revelation, what we see is Christ, in experience Christ, by knowing him as and in the Spirit.
That's right.
Dick, let's join Witness Lee, first portion of our message today from Galatians chapter 3.
We have come to the most crucial message in this whole book, the spirit versus the flesh. The terms the spirit and the flesh, too broad. These are big terms in the New Testament. These two terms, the spirit and the flesh, are two top expressions in the New Testament. The flesh is the uttermost expression of the fallen tripartite man. Please don't think the flesh in a book like Galatians only refers to your fallen body, to your transmuted, corrupted body, but it refers to your whole being. Body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. In chapter 5, tell us clearly all the works of the flesh, some items, surely indicate that the transmuted, corrupted body is implied in the flesh. And some items of the work of the flesh indicate that the fallen soul is also implied in the flesh. And at least two items that were what? Sorcery and idolatry. And these two items of the works of the flesh surely strongly indicate that our fallen spirit is also implied in the flesh. So the flesh, such a term, in the books like Galatians, Romans, indicates what? Indicates the whole fallen human being. It is the uttermost expression of the fallen tripartite man. This is the flesh. Then what is the spirit? The spirit is the ultimate realization of the processed triune God. In other words, dear saints, when the Bible says the flesh and the spirit, it means what? It means the fallen tripartite man and the processed triune God. How the flesh denotes the fallen tripartite man. The spirit indicates the processed triune God. Today in this universe, God is the spirit. And man is the flesh. Today in this universe, God is the processed triune God. And man is the fallen tripartite man. When we say the flesh, we mean just the lustful body. We don't mean the flesh is what? Is the fallen tripartite man. In the same principle, today, when we read the spirit, we just understand, oh, the third person of the triune God. But today, we all have to see the flesh means what? Means our entire fallen being. And the spirit means what? Means the entire God.
Dick, in this crucial message from Galatians 3, we have these two words, the flesh and the spirit. Again and again, they reoccur. The usual understanding of flesh, Dick, is just the lustful, sinful body. And the usual or common understanding of the spirit is that it's just the third, and I would say many people think the least significant person of the Godhead or part of the Godhead. Why is this kind of understanding or this level of understanding just not adequate for us to get the full picture that's being presented in this marvelous book, Galatians?
Well, maybe we should begin with the flesh. The flesh, as defined by our brother and really according to the whole revelation of the word, is very helpful. That is, the flesh is the uttermost expression of the fallen tripartite being, indicating that when we use the word flesh, we're talking about the entire fallen man, not just one-third of that man, that is his corrupted and sinful body. The fall of man affected his entire being. Likewise, when it comes to the spirit, like you said, many people, sorry to say, think of one-third of the triune God. It's kind of like you have a pie with three pieces. This is a shame, and this is an offense to the Lord. Can you imagine that the Spirit is only one-third of the pie? According to the divine revelation, the wonderful Father God is embodied in Christ the Son. This marvelous Son is realized and experienced by us and reaches us as the life-giving Spirit. There is a distinction. We say Father, Son, Spirit, but there's no separation. The Spirit implies the entire triune God with all of his riches. If we don't have the proper understanding of these two terms, the flesh and the spirit, we will never come into the experience that we should come into, and God's economy will be greatly frustrated. If we don't see the flesh as the entire fallen tripartite being, you know what will happen? We may not trust so much in our outer part, but we'll trust in our soul. But our whole being has been corrupted. According to Galatians 5, 19 to 21, it lists a lot of words like fornication, uncleanness. We know these words relate to our corrupted body. Then it talks about envyings and strivings. These are related to our fallen soul. Then it talks about sorcery and idolatry. This is related to our deadened spirit. So our entire being got affected by the fall. If you don't see the flesh refers to the entire fallen tripartite man, your tendency will be to trust in part of your being rather than in Christ and in the Spirit. Likewise, if you don't see that the Spirit is the entire triune God, even your enjoyment will be limited. But we have to realize that God's economy delivers us from the flesh to the Spirit that we may participate in the blessing of the riches of the entire triune God. By enjoying the Spirit, we get the Father. By enjoying the Spirit, we get everything of the Son. And surely by enjoying the Spirit, we get all the blessings of the Spirit. If we don't see these two words, the flesh and the Spirit, in an accurate way, we will miss a lot in our experience, and God's economy will be greatly frustrated, which is to impart himself into us as life and everything and be one with us so that we could be his expression.
Dick, that is very, very, not you said helpful, I'm going to say profound, to see that the fall has not just affected one third of our being. It has corrupted our entire being. We need a full salvation. And at the same time, when we touch the Spirit, we are not just touching one third of God. We are touching the whole, the entirety of the triune God.
Amen.
We need to be into this.
We surely do.
Dick, let's go back to this coming section with Witness Lee. We're going to see something that connects very well to what we've been talking about the tactics that God's enemy, Satan, and our enemy employs against us. Let's join Witness Lee.
God's economy is to just empower himself, the very precious God, as the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit into our being, to create an organic union that God and we and God might be one, to express him in a corporate way for eternity. This is God's economy. But Satan came in to utilize the law that was given by God to distract God's chosen people from God's economy. Now you understand what is the law misused. That is just to stir up the fallen man's interest to uplift himself, trying to keep the law, to have a self-righteousness. This is the law misused by the Judaizers, misused by those who have been distracted from God's economy. So, in this book, whenever you read the term law, you have to understand this is the misused, God-given thing, misused by Satan to keep God's chosen people away from God's economy. Now, what is faith? Faith is just the way for God's chosen people to apprehend, to grasp, to comprehend, and to enjoy, and to partake what God is to his people through all the process. Faith is here, and faith must be prevailing. So you must see how law goes with the flesh. Faith goes with the spirit. When we would go back to the law, when we would keep the law, we are the flesh. But when we would take the way of faith, firstly hearing, then appreciating, then calling, then receiving, then accepting, then joining, then partaking and enjoying. When we would take this way, the way of hearing, appreciating, calling, receiving, accepting, joining, partaking, and enjoying, the Spirit is here. Check with your own experience. Whenever you try to keep some law, right away, the flesh is there. And right away, you are the flesh. Right away, the fallen, tripartite man is there. But whenever you would take the way of faith, the way of hearing, appreciating, calling, receiving, accepting, joining, partaking, and enjoying, who is here? The Spirit. And this Spirit is all inclusive Christ, and this Spirit is also the processed triune God. This way of faith always develops, cultivates the organic union. And this organic union is a union between the processed God and the regenerated man. This union should be developed, and this union should be cultivated, and this union should be developed to the uttermost.
Dick, when we think about the tactics that Satan employs against God's people, probably the one that comes first to mind for most people is sin, no doubt. But in Galatians, it's very clear that Satan uses, or maybe we better say misuses, the law to snare people. How does Satan misuse the law, and how can we be safeguarded against falling into this snare?
He misuses the law, first of all, by distracting us from God's economy. God's economy is his dispensing of himself into us as the processed triune God to be our life and our everything, so that he and we enter into an organic oneness, that we might be his corporate expression to fulfill his heart's desire. This is God's economy. So the misuse of the law distracts us from this marvelous economy of God. Number two, the misuse of the law stirs up the fallen man's desire to uplift himself by keeping the law and developing some kind of self-righteousness, which is an absolute offense to God and is utterly rejected by him. The only righteousness we could ever have is Christ himself, who today is the wonderful life-giving Spirit within us. So this is how Satan misuses the law. On the other hand, we want to be Christians who don't take the way of the works of the law, but we take the way of faith, apprehending, grasping, and enjoying the entire processed triune God as our life and our everything. Our brother in this message really defines the way of faith and makes the way of faith very, very practical. I hope all of you who are listening really pick this up. This has been perhaps the greatest help to me in my Christian experience. Many times we hear faith. What is faith? But when you put all the verses in the Bible together, you come up with a practical definition of faith according to the words that our brother uses in this message. Faith is, number one, hearing the word of Christ. That's where it begins. And after you hear, number two, appreciating. Once you begin to appreciate this Christ, faith is there. Faith is also calling upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I believe in you. Not only calling, but receiving and partaking and being joined to and enjoying, and we could even say praising. I tell you, faith is very practical, beginning with hearing and consummating with the uttermost enjoyment. And the issue is we're brought into an organic union with the Lord, and this union, that is this life oneness with the Lord, develops and increases, so that God can fulfill his economy. I hope all of you who are listening pick up this definition of the way of faith. While you're listening to this broadcast, isn't that good? You're taking the way of faith. The first aspect of faith is hearing. And I believe while you're listening, you're also appreciating. And while you're appreciating, you're probably saying, "Thank you, Lord Jesus." And you're partaking of, and you're joining yourself to the Lord. And I tell you, I know right now, this minute, you are enjoying the Lord. This is the way of faith.
You know, Dick, we began this portion by talking about how Satan snares God's people to live in a wrong way, a misused way, according to the law. And over the years, talking to different believers, and even at times when we go through these periods ourselves, where we're struggling so much, we've got such a tight hold on everything to try to keep it together for fear that if we break out of that mold, what will happen? And I think the fear is that we will fall into lawlessness, which is neither what God is looking for. But there is this third way, this better way, God's way, the way of faith.
Amen.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
According to the New Testament, especially Paul's competing epistles, we can see that the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, after all this process, come. These all-inclusive life-giving
Spirit,
coming into our spirit to create an organic union. Amen. We live by Him in our spirit. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, in that book, in chapter 7, Paul gave some commandment concerning marriage and so forth. He said, "I have no commandment from the Lord, but according to my age, let me tell you my concept, this and that." Then at the end, he said, "I think I also have the Spirit of God." This is the New Testament way. The New Testament way is an organic union way. The New Testament way is the way of incarnation. Not God doing Himself alone, doing things by Himself alone, but God incarnated to be one with His saved people. There is the mingling of divinity with humanity. There is such an organic union between the processed God and the regenerated man. Everything should be from this union. Everything should come out of this mingling. In the New Testament, it says, "I, Paul, tell you, I, Peter, tell you, I, John, tell you, I have no clear commandment from God, yet I believe what I speak, I have also the Spirit of God in it." This is the New Testament way. This is the way to develop the organic union of the process God with His regenerated man. The Spirit is just such a God. And the flesh is the total fallen tripartite man. So don't do anything by yourself apart from God. If you do, that is flesh. You have to realize that God today is joined to you, and you have been joined to Him. He and you and He are mingled as one. There is such an organic, intrinsic, not outward, union within your spirit. You have to walk according to this spirit in your spirit. This is God's New Testament economy, and this will carry out God's eternal purpose. I hope that this may help all of us to realize something of these two terms, the spirit and the flesh.
Well, Dick, we have in this last section today a wonderful example of the New Testament way of the organic union, shown us in 1 Corinthians 7. This is a very interesting chapter where Paul is speaking in some detail about marriage and other related things. Then at the end, in verse 40, he says this, "This is my opinion, but I think that I also have the Spirit of God." Dick, how is it that this kind of speaking illustrates the organic union more than if Paul had said, "Thus saith the Lord"?
1 Corinthians 6:17, Chris, says, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." This is our organic union with the Lord. And to live in this organic union, that is to live in the oneness with our resurrected Lord, is to take the way of incarnation. That is, God and we are one. Because of His economy, His dispensing Himself into us as life and everything, we've become mingled. Divinity is mingled with humanity. There's a oneness now between God and man. You refer to this phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, if you remember in the Old Testament, at a certain point, even a donkey could say, "Thus saith the Lord." A donkey was used by God to speak, but the donkey remained the donkey and God remained God. God's economy is this oneness, this precious organic union between God and man. So it's so good that Paul could speak in oneness with the Lord. This is the principle of incarnation, meaning what? Is this me or is this the Lord? Well, the wonderful thing is here, the two have become organically one. God wants to do things in oneness with His people. This is the big difference between just saying, "Thus saith the Lord," where God remains God and we remain we. God desires the two of us become mingled in this wonderful life union. Hallelujah for the organic union of God with His people.
Well, Dick, we touched this very big, broad topic in the last question about the organic union. Unfortunately, time doesn't allow us to really get into it further, but you gave us a very, very good, I would say, taste appetizer. We'll come back to it. It's a main topic in the book of Galatians. Very enjoyable fellowship today. Thanks for being a part of it.
You're welcome, Chris. I'm so happy to be here.
And we're very happy also that you were joining us today, and we invite you back as we get further into the life study of Galatians. Let me point out that we have the printed volume of Life Study of Galatians, volume number 1, containing 24 messages. And we'd like you to call us, find out about it. Also, we'd love to get your comments and questions. Our telephone number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Dick Taylor, appreciate you being with us and invite you back very soon.
Thank you, brother.
I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you today for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee. Receive us into Thy wise hands.
You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, publisher and distributor of the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. If you'd like to contact us, just email radio@lsm.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening.